Welcome back to another episode of Outdoor Adventures on Brownfield. I'm Brent Barnett. And on today's program, we're going to reflect a little bit about this past deer hunting season and also look at a topic of hunting leases as a possible source of income for farmers. Here today on the program is Bill Hill with Border Bucks Outfitters. Bill, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Doing great, Bill. And I'd like to have you first maybe tell the listeners about yourself, your background in the industry, and what Border Bucks Outfitters is all about.
I started Border Bucks in 2005. We're based in northern Missouri, but we also hunt southern Iowa. I farm just a little bit myself, but I've turned the outfitting business into my primary income. So that's kind of a short history about how I got started, I guess.
Yeah. So how's the business gone for you? Is it something you've always had a passion for, to be an outfitter?
I never really thought that I would be an outfitter if you would ask me almost 20 years ago. But the reason I started outfitting was because every time I turned around places that I grew up hunting, there were people from out of state coming in leasing those places up. So I decided that I could either sit back and watch everybody else do it, or I could step in and do it myself. So that's how I came about.
And like you said, got land in northern Missouri and southern Iowa. And while you're operating the business, do you have time to get out yourself and do hunting each year?
I really don't get a chance to hunt much locally anymore, but I do travel, which I've always traveled. I like to go out west and elk hunt and mule deer. I've been to Florida alligator hunting. I've been to Alaska on brown bear hunts and several other hunts across the country. So I still get out, but not very much locally anymore.
Just from what you had this past season, like you said, doing some travel hunting, do you have any stories top of mind you'd like to share?
This last year, I really don't have a whole lot as far as anything that I did. As far as our actual hunting season with my clients and things like that, we had a really good year. It had its ups and downs, just like every one of them does. But the extreme warm weather there in early November, it really played a toll on us. The high winds, things like that. But once we got a little bit further into November, then we ended up doing really well.
Bill, what are the benefits for hunters to use an outfitter? I've never had that experience myself, but, you know, for anyone that's interested, what benefits do you get from utilizing an outfitter compared to other means?
And I've had friends through the years that, you know, they live a long ways away, and they started years ago, they'd want to get a lease. Well, they found out that if they got a lease, then they spent all their time doing all their homework, putting out trail cameras and food plots and hanging tree stands, scouting and doing all these type of things. And then when the hunting season came around, they'd used up all their vacation or their time or even their money to travel back and forth to do all the work. Whereas they pay me, and that's my job, is I basically do everything for them so that when they get a week off of work, then when they come in, they get 5, 6, 7 full days of hunting instead of having to do the work.
And over the years, especially here of late, what's it been like trying to, you know, get these properties acquired? Because, you know, you look at the land market right now and, you know, prices are really high.
That's the hard thing about our business is, you know, we've got a lot of acres, but trying to keep those acres, the land price is definitely changed what we're doing as far as that goes, because, you know, there's a lot of people selling land right now that I would have never thought would sell land, and I can't blame them for selling the way the market is, but it definitely makes it hard on us, because, you know, if we get a property, say if I acquire a new property right now, then, you know, it'll take me about 3 years to get that property set up as far as getting stands set up and, you know, if food plots are a possibility, getting those established, doing this, doing that. And then, you know, as far as the management aspect of it, if we get a farm and, you know, we're based off of trophy quality, we're trying to concentrate on taking the mature animals and things like that. So if we get a property and we put all this work into it, and then we turn around and lose it a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road, it didn't benefit us a whole lot. So it's really a lot of work down the drain.
Well, and when you look at your locations in your description on the website, you know, northern Missouri, southern Iowa, I mean, that's some prime areas of deer hunting for whitetails, and I'm sure the interest is high, Bill.
It is very high. You know, we've been in business a long time. We have basically 85% of our clients are repeat, which means they come back every single year and hunt with us, and some of them are every 2 years or whatever. But, you know, we have a lot of repeat clients, so there is a lot of demand, you know, as far as for what we're doing.
During the off season here, what are you up to these days? Is this kind of the season where you're going around to conventions and speaking with folks? What's your schedule look like this time of year?
Well, yeah, is basically as soon as our deer season ended on January 15th in Missouri, then it's time to prepare. We do a big trade show. It's called the Great American Outdoor Show in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I started doing that show in 2006. And have done it every year other than the year of COVID. And then actually right now I'm in Nashville, Tennessee for the National Wild Turkey Federation National Convention down here. So yeah, as soon as the deer season's over with, then we gear up, we do these two shows, you know, just trying to, more or less, we talk to our existing clients and sometimes we pick up new clients. Sad to say, but we don't really have any openings for this year or for 2024. So it's basically just about getting, you know, together with folks that have hunted with us through the years and sharing stories and just visiting.
Again, our guest is Bill Hill with Border Bucks Outfitters. Bill, I was recently in Ottumwa, Iowa, a few weeks back here, covering the Corn Belt Cow-Calf Conference, big farm show that's helped put on by KIIC, one of our Brownfield affiliate stations, and you were on the schedule, hosting a seminar about hunting leases being a new potential source of income for farmers and producers. So, you know, this definitely was an interesting topic for sure, one that I was interested in, and I wanted you to maybe share with the listeners a little bit about your presentation and some of the highlights that you were sharing with farmers about.
Basically, in the presentation, you know, yes, I did talk to some folks about hunting leases as additional income, you know, on the farm. You know, the market right now, of course, I'm always in the market for new ground. And, you know, it's hard to come by, and there's a lot of farmers out there that are leery about leasing their land to somebody, especially to an outfitter. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I think you're a lot better off to lease it to an outfitter as far as one that is reputable and is going to take care of your ground. Because, you know, if I get a piece of ground, I'm trying to manage it. I'm looking for something long term. I'm not looking for, you know, I want it 1 or 2 years. So I'm going to put money into it. I'm going to manage the property. I'm going to take care of it just like it was my own. You know, we don't leave gates open. We don't rut fields up. I mean, we respect the property. You know, and then it comes down to also a liability issue where, you know, we have to carry at least $1 million liability insurance. We carry two. So, you know, a lot of folks out there that, you know, they're against leasing their farm out, they're actually at more risk not having it leased out to somebody because anybody off the street can trespass on the land and this and that, and they can still, you know, end up in a bind. Whereas if it's leased to an outfitter, most people, I shouldn't use the word respect, but a lot of people, if they know an outfitter has it, then they're a lot less likely to trespass and things like that, because they think that they're more apt to get caught from trail cameras or just somebody being on the property.
Sure. What are some other, you know, benefits here for the farmers, and how do you get it across? And I know you talked about respecting the land and developing those long-term relationships, but I'm sure there's some barriers up front of trying to get over the hump on the trust factor, right?
Absolutely. That's the big one right there. Of course, you know, I mean, there's the financial benefit to the farmer as far as the land lease. A lot of times the benefits aren't just the financial end of things. You know, I do a lot for a lot of the landowners that we lease for. I mean, from, you know, I've got a skid loader. I do some skid loader work for them, try to help them out. I mean, I fix fences, you know, anything that needs done, then, you know, a lot of times then I'm willing to help do things like that. So there's several other benefits from just that. And then, you know, over the years, most everybody that I lease land from, you know, it we end up being friends.
Bill, if there are any producers out there right now that are, you know, considering leasing their property to, let's just say, an outfitter, you know, just from your side of the equation here, what would be some advice for them of what they should make sure is in the lease, you know, in that agreement?
As far as that goes, then I would, you know, I like the first year that I try to lease a piece of property, I think it's always a good thing to have a one-year contract the first year that you have it or whatever, instead of trying to do something long term, just to make sure. I like to do it that way to make sure that, you know, we get along, you know, that something doesn't pop up in between or something like that. And then if we get along for the first year, which I've never had anybody that I didn't get along with, then I like to do something, you know, 3-5 year type contract or something like that. But as far as, you know, some big things to me would be, if I was going to lease my property to somebody, of course, the number one is, you know, driving in the fields when it's wet or muddy. I see that all the time. And not from me or my guys, but I mean, just around the country, I see that. Trash, you know, respecting the land as far as, you know, there's just all kinds of things. Gates, if a gate's open, leave it open. If a gate's shut, you know, shut the gate. If you notice that there's some cows out, you know, do your due diligence and try to find out whose they are. And, you know, if you need to, help get them back in. But as far as in the lease, you know, it's just, there's a lot of things that are just common sense issues, you know, as far as that goes for me.
When you're in the presentations there in Ottumwa, you know, off the top of your head, can you think of anything that farmers there in attendance maybe asked you, or any conversations with producers afterwards? I'm sure they were curious.
There was definitely interest there. And one topic, of course, was the insurance, you know, information as far as, you know, liability type stuff. We talked about that. Another thing that was brought up as far as, you know, we try to manage the land for trophy quality, which means at the same time, we're not just looking to come in and shoot the biggest bucks. I mean, in order to manage a piece of property, you've got to reduce the doe numbers. So that was a big topic that several folks wanted to talk about is, you know, how do we manage the doe population? Well, the only way to manage it is you have to put forth the time and the effort to try to, you know, harvest a certain number of does off of, you know, the property. Of course, from a deer management perspective, then the closer that buck to doe ratio is, then the better quality your deer herd is. And it also helps the farmer in the long run because we're reducing overall deer numbers.
Bill, any final tips or advice you'd pass along to farmers today on the program on this topic?
The main thing is if somebody's interested in leasing your ground, then, you know, I like to do business face to face. Because whenever you meet somebody, of course, you can get a good feel for, you know, what kind of person they are, I think. But, you know, err on the side of caution, I guess. I hear a lot of horror stories, you know, well, I leased it to so-and-so and they only gave me half of my money. I didn't get all my money and things like that. And then they came in and, you know, they destroyed this or, you know, rutted up my field. So that's the big topics to me, you know, as far as that goes.
And before we go, you might just tell the listeners where they can get more information about your company, Border Bucks Outfitters.
Well, there's several different ways to get a hold of us. Of course, we have a website. It's borderbucksoutfitters.com. And then also we have a Facebook page, Border Bucks Outfitters. And then that's the two easiest ways. We have email and, of course, my number. My cellular number and my home number is on the website, the Facebook page, and all that stuff. So that's the easiest way to get a hold of us.
Again, Bill Hill with Border Bucks Outfitters, right here on Brownfield's Outdoor Adventures. I'm Brent Barnett.